Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching International. It is August the 30th. We're having a special bonus call today since there's five Thursdays in August. So wanted to welcome everyone, and we'll be talking about marketing techniques and coaching techniques. And these calls are basically for you. We do a training, and also, it's driven by your questions. I know a couple of you sent in questions, so that's fantastic. I'll get to those first, and just exactly what you need to do your best coaching and to grow and market your business. So the more you can always email me questions beforehand, and then I can be happy to answer them on the call. And then you can also ask me your questions here on the call as we go. And if I'm doing a training section, I'll mute the line so we get real clear recording, and then I'll open up the line so you can ask questions as well. If you have any, looks like it's pretty clear right now. If you have any background noise, you can just press *6 on your phone to mute your phone. And then if you want to speak and ask a question, you can just press *6 again to ask your question. And then our next calls, they're always on the second and fourth Thursday of the month. So the next one would be September 13th. And so at the same time, so you can put that on your calendar too. That'll be coming up. And then when you request things, I always try to put them in the members area. The call replays will always be in the members area. If you click on the schedule button on the upper right hand corner, that yellow schedule button, then you see the modules there, and then you can scroll down and see the call replays. And when people request things, I'll add different documents as well. Like I think Rob, you mentioned you had a question about different forms and things as well that I use. I think Rob, you sent in your question first. Rob, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, do you want to ask your? And tell us what you're doing.
Well, I.
You said you had kind of a new opportunity, I think.
Yeah, I actually have one client, high school athlete. So it's really my first client, and so part of it was, what forms are there any kind of like agreement forms that we should have? I kind of went through the back office and I didn't see any, and then I'm also going to be coaching cross country at a pretty distinguished school. I've been ranked in the country a few times the last 3 years, but the cross country team, for men and women, boys and girls, actually, high schools, they have about 260 athletes. So,
great.
With the head coach, we were talking about nutrition and psychology, and, those are things that they don't touch on. Specific to training, when you say sports psychology, a lot of the coaches, we do that, meaning that they're positive and they're versed in how to interact with the kids and things like that. But, in regards to introducing, sports psychology training, one of the questions I had also was, what would be a great type of presentation to share with, 200-plus student-athletes? So I guess the question I had was, is there an agreement? What kind of agreement should we have for your clients? And then, some type of presentation to share with a large group, a large audience. And then, I guess, marketing, is that so if you had athletes that were interested, would you offer, a nutrition would be like a health history, a complementary health history. Would you offer something, a 15 or 30-minute consultation or something like that? And I guess just how does a session start, I guess, is really what I'm missing.
Okay. Yeah, great. And, I think you also mentioned earlier you had a question about the like what you know, to build your credibility, you know, one thing that you can do that can help is you can say, I'm working with Dr. Joanne Dahlketter with Performing Edge Coaching, who has, you know, Olympic clients. One thing you can say, I can, email you this, but that I've got, you know, 5 Olympic gold medalist clients, and I've had my athletes in the last 5 Olympic Games, and I was in this recent London Games, had 5 athletes there in the London Games. One, Sally Kipyego, got silver medal in the 10,000 meters, and then Shannon Roberry got 6th in the 1,500 meters, and I had a client, Alia Atkinson, swimmer from Jamaica, who got 4th in the 100-meter breaststroke, and Meb Kaplisky got 4th in the marathon. So so those are things that you can do to sort of, you know, when you're in the process of gaining your credibility, you can borrow credibility, so to speak, or be associated with other people who other associations who have that credibility. So that can help a lot, I think. In terms of what type of presentation to give to the group? I think, you know, if you've all got the Your Performing Edge book, right? You've got that, Rob. So you could actually get, you know, just pick out a chapter or two in there, pick out some of the highlights that you like, and just create a presentation out of that, you know, like the 3 P's of Your Performing Edge: positive images and power words, present focus. I think it's good to have, a mix. I'm a professional speaker as well, so there's lots of things that you want to do in a presentation. If you can have a mix it up, think of it like a Hollywood movie, you know, how they have scene changes, and everyone gets bored if you're just in one scene for too long. Like my dinner with Andre was entire scene, movie was one scene. I watched that movie 3 times and I fell asleep every time because I never found out what happened at the end because there's no scene changes. If you can do scene changes, the equivalent of that in your talk, like give a few minutes of think of it like a story, think of a particular point you want to make, you know, like say positive images, and think about the imagery, what you had described, that like I describe it in the book there, and then tell a story of some sort, an athlete example. Either your own experience, like using positive imagery, or you working with a client, it's really important for you to, if you can, include client examples if you've worked with clients, or if not, it's okay to use your own stories too. And then you also want to give, tips. You know, here's one tip 1, 2, 3. Here's how to do this. Like on page, I think it's page 71 or so of the book, in chapter 6, I talk about, or the chapter on imagery, I talk about the 7 tips or 7 ways to do visualization to enhance the effectiveness of your visualization. So that'd be really good to have that and put that maybe on a slide or something, or go through it with each person. Yeah, and then they could practice, each one of those techniques. If there's a way that you can have an exercise, take them through a visualization exercise, maybe just a short one. If it's kids, what age group are they, did you say, Rob?
Well, they're in high school, so everywhere from, freshmen to seniors. So I know the maturity level, they all might not be there, is what I mean.
Yeah, so with kids like that, maybe you want them to just do a quick little something. If you do a long visualization, they'll probably get too distracted. And in general, the younger the client, the shorter the visualization is. You want to make it shorter because they have a less attention span. With an adult, you could do 15, 20 minute visualization exercise, but with kids, maybe more like 5 minutes or 3 minutes, and then with adults, you take longer to kind of get them into the mood, and you can have them count, you know, float down in a cloud from 10 to 1 or whatever, or it takes a few deep breaths and relax and that sort of thing. With and they like that, to be able to, you know, kind of transition from the busy day to relaxing. But with kids, they want to, like, let's get to it. they don't want to not spend too much time with the relaxing part, but just get to the meat of the visualization. So you could just say, take a deep breath and then close your eyes. Or with a group, you might not even, they can close their eyes, or maybe you just have them stare at one point in the room or something, and just have them imagine, just take them through a really quick visualization, even while their eyes are open, so that they don't get too distracted or don't fall asleep. And just take them to, you know, imagine your best time when you were running and what that was like, and bring all five senses into the experience, and just do a quick little visualization there. And then another part, so these are all kind of scene changes that you could do within your presentation, right? So you've got giving the content of what something is, and a point, say, about imagery or what, any topic you want, and then a story of some sort, an example, and then tips of here's how to implement this, and then an exercise to do. And if you have, so those are all kind of scene changes, and then another scene change might be, afterwards, then having them share, okay, what did you visualize? What was your most powerful, time when you were at your absolute best? And yeah, several kids will probably want to share that, and that's a really powerful thing so that they realize that this people are doing this, and that it's really effective. And and then you might want to ask them, okay, how could you implement this? How could you take that step forward? And then you could have another scene change. Could be you could have them write something. You know, just take a piece of paper and write down, okay, here's write down three ways that you could take this imagery and then put it into your life. What you'd like to do differently, like maybe focus more on the, be more focused at the beginning of the workout or something like that. So, you could do that, and you could, and then do that with each point. So if you did that, let's say you had three points, positive images, and then power words, do the same thing, do a point, give your point, principle to follow, exactly what, power words are, and then do a quick story about that, and then do some, tips, like in the book again, I think it's chapter 7 is, on power words, and I give seven or ten ways to, to do the power words, be in the present tense, things like do say what you do want, don't say what you don't want, and, all those kinds of things. You could give them those tips of here's how to do it, and then say, okay, now let's practice this once real quick here, and then share. You could also have people break up into like just a pair up with someone next to you, and each person shares with the other person what their experience of the exercise was, and then you have everybody report back in the room. But if you feel like you're losing control, like the kids aren't as aren't attentive enough, then it's better to do things in the whole group as opposed to breaking up into small. If you had more time, like a whole half day workshop or something, then you could do more exercises like that where people break up into small groups. So yeah, if you have any kind of visuals, like a few slides you can put up, that's great. If you have any videos you want to show, like you can easily just go to YouTube and get videos, of running, in your case, running events. Then you can show that. That's another sort of scene change, a way to, demonstrate something and show how, say if you watched a video like this each night before you went to bed and visualized, your subconscious mind will take it over, be able to take that in. And so you can be working on that for another 8 hours as you're sleeping. So that's a kind of example of, how to do a presentation like point one, point two, and then do that for point three. And if you don't have time for all three, it's okay. Just get as far as you can. And then have time for questions maybe at the end. That's another kind of scene change, another thing you can do. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the presentation part. I know you had several questions. I'll put I do have a sample agreement, client agreement, and so I'll put that in the members area there or a contract to use. I have, but let me just go over, let's see, I have it right here, just some kind of points to, because you can take this and you can, you know, customize it for your own needs. Mine is like saying, you know, hi, Dr. Joanne Dahlketter, you can put your name in there. Of course, you know, we'll provide performing edge coaching to so-and-so. You fill in their name to blank. The information this exchange during coaching will be confidential and will not be disclosed to outside parties unless requested in writing by the client. So it's, you know, confidential. You want to establish that. And then just, you know, kind of have a little section for coaching procedure and terms. So say how many times a month, like if it's four, like mine is four coaching calls per month usually. And coaching will be done over phone and the client agrees to initiate the call. So you have the client make the phone call. If it's with them, if it's in person, then you can say in person. And meetings will be held each, whatever, you know, let's say it's better if you have it a certain time and day, the same each week so the client remembers. It really helps with retention that way. So, you know, the meetings will be held each Tuesday from 10 to 10:45 or 10 to 10:30 if you want to do a half-hour session or hour session. And then, you can say... if you're going to be charging for it, you can say if we agree to extend a call or add additional calls during the month, the prorated fee will be billed in the next invoice or in the next time around. So, you know, kind of that's a good business practice so you don't end up, you know, just working forever and not, you know, billing for it. So you establish that in the, you know, in the contract. And especially if parents are paying for it, you know, they want to know that. That way they don't abuse your time or to, you know, have you go forever kind of thing. You can say if you're delayed calling in, I'll hold our space for 15 minutes before I consider it a missed call. If you call in within 15 minutes, we'll continue the call and end at the scheduled time. That way it's really important to establish those kind of boundaries, I think, so that you don't, so clients don't think they can just call in at any time. Yeah, so you can, you know, and that way you keep them on time for calling in. And billing is, and then you say, what I say is billing is done in advance by credit card or check at the beginning of each four-session period. And please make all checks out to, and then put your name. And then, you know, something about changes is good to have in a contract, too. Like in the event you need to reschedule the call, I ask that you please give me at least 24 hours notice. We'll make arrangements to make up the call if you miss a meeting with less than 24 hours notice due to unforeseen circumstances. I'll do my best to reschedule during that week. If I can't, you'll be billed for the session. Missed appointments without notice are not scheduled and build in full. So that's my policy. And you can decide what you want to do with people. Sometimes if you're just getting started, you can be a little bit more lenient, say, with the first session if they miss something. But chances are if somebody misses a session and doesn't call you, you know, if you don't do something about that, they're going to do that again and again. And you end up wasting time. So you want to set your limits there. Or sometimes people will bill, you know, for half the cost of a session if it's missed. But I think that's a really good policy to have to protect yourself. And then for extra time, I say you may, if you have an emergency, I do not bill for additional time of this type, but I do ask that the time be kept to 5 minutes, you know, if there's some sort of emergency. If you need more time beyond 5 minutes, we'll schedule an extra session. So those are all good, really good things to have, I think, in a contract.
That would be very helpful because, yeah, I always kind of dumbfounded when one. How do I set these boundaries and how should it be written?
Yeah, so I'll put that up there. I'll email it all out to you and put that in the members area right away here after this. Yeah.
Okay.
And I know you had some, hopefully that answers most of the questions. Pricing for sessions, I think, it can be, it's just the gamut. I think you ask about that too, right? What to charge for sessions?
Yeah, what's the cost?
And it can be anything from, you know, it kind of depends on your area and what people are used to paying. That's the really great news about this, the work that we do, is that it runs the gamut from, you know, from free to, you know, $5,000 a month kind of thing, or it could be more. It's just depending on your credibility and what people are willing to pay. If you're in a very affluent area, if you live in Beverly Hills, you know, find out, you know, it's good to ask other people what they're used to paying for different services. And you want to try to be in the middle, or, you know, not the lowest, not the highest, but kind of in the middle of what other people are charging. Because, you know, sports psychology and performing this type of coaching, a lot of times it's a newer concept. You know, people are willing to, there's no established, maybe no established rate for it. So people are kind of more open. They're willing to try things, I think. you know, if you're just starting out, you could try doing, like we were talking about, half hour sessions for, you know, $45 or $75 or something, and then move to, you know, an hour session. As an example, myself, I started out charging people $95 for an hour session, a few years ago, and then I went up to $150. An hour, and then realized that charging on a monthly basis was better. Gave you know, people were more committed to my program. So I started charging $600 a month, and I got, depending on, you know, if people are not giving you resistance, then that means it's a good time to, you know, you can raise your rates to, you know, so I raised my rates to $800 a month, and then I was fine there. People had no problem paying that, so then I raised them to $1,000 a month. And so now I have clients, so now I don't charge any less than that, $1,000 a month. You know, that includes four sessions a month, so it's basically $250 an hour. And sometimes if people want more than that, I'll often be, you know, I've charged, had clients that will pay $5,000 a month, between $2,000 and $5,000 a month, if they want, you know, more sessions per week and more intensive work kind of thing. Let's say they have a major championship coming up. And then it depends on the sport too. You know, if it's like, for instance, tennis players, equestrian clients, golfers, those are very expensive sports. And so people are used to paying high fees for coaching and for lessons. And so they'll pay higher amounts for sports psychology as well. I just had a talk to a client last week that his parents, the parents of one child, spent over $100,000 in 1 year for their child to go to a special school that's just for tennis. You know, there's special schools in California and in Florida that are focused just on tennis. If you want your kid to be a, you know, professional tennis player, they'll pay, you know, the school itself is like $50,000 a year or so, plus all the lessons and sports psychology. And so you can figure you can get a piece of that if parents are in that kind of mindset of paying that much money for their child to, to do well in their sport. They're willing to, pay for your high quality services in sports performance too. So it's a really great field to be in. Yeah, is that helpful, Rob? Yeah, I think, I don't know if Rob might be muted, but let's see, I think Jeff, Jeff Levout, are you there? Yeah, it's a little hard to hear you. Oh, maybe, I don't know if you're in a conference room. Yeah, it's hard to hear, but I think you sent in a question also. Yeah, so I'll answer that too. And does, let's see, Jeff asked, here, it's hard. If you can turn up your volume, that would be great. I could hear you better. A little, slightly. I could still barely hear you. But that's okay. I'll answer your question. You said, what's the single most method to target and attract potential clients for Performing Edge Coaching? Is it online, website, keyword research, affiliations, printed media? You gave a long list here, which is great. Electronic media, direct mailing, event marketing, direct athlete or agent contact, et cetera. So, and then you said, which is a really important question, obviously I'm really interested in bullet number three that I sent out to you on how to focus and dominate your niche. And I know that you're in the specific area of motocross racing, which is really interesting. It's a great field that you can, I think, dominate. It does require, it's hugely, it's a very mental sport, and it requires a lot of focus, and if you lose your focus, there can be, you know, it can be really dangerous. So it's really important to help. There's an incredible need for your services there, and so I would say in general, we'll go into each of these the areas that you mentioned there more in depth on each of these calls with the trainings. I would say in general, online and websites. In my experience, online and website presence is, and social media presence is more effective in general. It's good to do all the things that you mentioned there, I think. But if you can have that online presence, through your website let's say write articles and put videos up on YouTube and have your Facebook page and Twitter and have those kinds of things set up, and do blogging, put in your blog posts on a regular basis once a day or once two or three times a week, then it really helps with, people click on links and they can get to you a lot quicker than, let's say, in my experience, like writing for print magazines, there's status with that. Or if you get quoted, let's say, for the Olympics, I got interviewed by Time Magazine and by Entrepreneur Magazine. And those were print magazines. You don't get the. Also, I've been in Runner's World several times. Last year, they kind of used me as a regular expert, but people don't. Well, they read it, but they don't. There's no place for them to click, or to find. Of course, they could, type in your name, and try to find you on the web. And some people do that, but it's not immediate because there's no link right there for them to click. So there isn't as much of a connection. So I would focus more on online marketing than the offline marketing. Like direct mailing, I think is one that's, well, it's expensive. It's more of a risk because you got to pay for postcards or something, or pay for mailings, and oftentimes they end up in the junk mail, the circular file, which is the trash can. I think it is good to have postcards of some sort, but go ahead and have those with you and just go to events and mail them out to people. You can go to where the athletes are and just see if you can talk with them, see if you can get a media pass. That's how I got to work with the athletes. The five athletes I did for the London Olympics was going to track meets and swim meets and actually got a media pass there was able to talk, which is easier than you think. You just go to the website where the event is and click on media or press there, and there's a little application, and you can fill it out and just say that you're with, and say the name of your website, the name of your company, or whatever you want to use as your affiliation, or if you can get affiliated with a local magazine or newspaper, that's helpful too. And then go to the event and find the athletes there and be able to interview them afterward. And so and that's what I did, and then get their contact information. And what I did with each one was I said, I do sports psychology. I said, I'm Dr. Joanne Dahlketter, sports psychologist, and I would like to know about, and then ask them a question about sports psychology. What do you think about or do you prepare mentally ahead of time, or how important do you think mental training is before your event? Ask them something, related to your field, to this field, and then you can ask them. What I did afterward is I said, well, I do custom MP3 files, like custom visualizations for exactly what you need, and I'd be happy to do one complimentary for you, for your event coming up, or in this case, it was the Olympics coming up, you know, to get ready for the Olympics, or, you know, so that you can be totally prepared. And it's not a general one. It's exactly what you need with your vision, your words, your peak performance. And so everyone that I asked said, yes, that would be great. And then I asked them, well, let's see, could I get your phone number and email? And then we can, you know, do the visualization by phone. It was a great way to build a connection with athletes. So that's a really, that worked very well. And I ended up getting, you know, these five athletes for the, working with them for the London Olympics. And then afterwards, you know, they had really great results. So they asked to work with me and, you know, pay me as their ongoing, a couple of them want me to continue to work with them on a paid basis. So that's great. Yeah, Jeff, does that help a little bit? I don't know if you're... If you can talk a little bit louder.
Yeah, I'm trying to. Is that any better?
Yeah, that's a little better.
Okay. Yeah, what I was saying is that the dilemma, you know, resides in the list being so extensive and trying to narrow it down to that bucket of the top one or two items, which I think you've identified pretty clearly, you know, being the online and the website and the social media in particular. And what I've been told in terms of our industry is that, you know, event attendance and networking within the industry is so critically important. Without being there, being visible, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
Find that target athlete or client.
Yeah, so I'd say a combination of the two, it would be good. That, yeah, same thing with equestrian sports. They tend to be, you know, at their events, and they're not online as much. But so being there is great. And so you want to have something, you know, business cards or your a postcard there to and then so what you want to do is think of it like working offline to online. And so you start offline first and get to know the athletes, and you're you know, you've sponsored some of the motocross guys, right? So you probably know them. Yeah, you're in that niche already, and you've been a professional motocross racer, which is fantastic. So you really and you've been injured and then come back from injury, so you really know the whole gamut, which is great. And so I would, you could print up a postcard, a flyer of some sort would be really good, you know, just which are really easy and cheap to do, and just, you know, 8x10 paper that you just print, copy off, and, you know, giving different point, you know, having a photo of you, and then your, I can give you an example of the one that I have too. I'll put that in the members area too, of you know, how you can write down a you know, bullet list of your credentials you know, what you've done in motocross, and then and a list of benefits. You always want to think of benefits first. You know, what is it you can provide for them? You know, as opposed to feature, you probably know about some of that, but, you know, not just features, saying, well, I can do four sessions a month for this period of time. Those are sort of features, but the benefits are, you know, yeah, it's just, you know, being able to perform at your best and really focusing getting the results you want with your motocross racing and trying to really, bring it home to them. So if you had a flyer there, you could hand that out to them, and it was something free. If you can offer something free, like a free report that they can go online, so you put the like on the flyer, put a, you know, a website name or URL of some sort where they could go and get, and then they could download a you know, a free, let's say, but you want to really make it compelling for them. And so, not just free report, but something like the top 10 mistakes that, motocross racers make, top 10 mental mistakes, motocross racers make. I mean, that's really something that's very compelling. People, when they hear the word mistake, they're thinking, oh my God, I've got to, you know, am I making this mistake? I got to find out. What's that?
And then perhaps the recognition that, wow, I actually do make that mistake, and I need some help.
Yeah, exactly. So, and they're saying, wow, this guy, Jeff Levout, really knows what he's talking about. If he's identifying the very mistakes I'm making. And I'm sure you know what those are. So being in the field, you know, not, I mean, can you give an example of one of the, a mental or physical mistake that they make?
Overachieving, underachieving. Two very simple examples, but both extremely common.
Yeah.
Unrealistic goal setting is very common.
Yeah, and if you could give a specific example of that unrealistic goal setting. So you're going to a race and you're expecting to win when all the top guys are there or something?
Perhaps, and deep down, realistically understanding you may not, perhaps you're transitioning from an amateur rank to a professional rank, and the probability of you jumping right in and being a winner is statistically very slim. And I think I've used this example before, but, you know, a lot of aspiring athletes have that belief that I've worked hard enough, I will win. And then when failure, you know, faces them because they don't immediately, they tend to struggle mentally.
Yeah, exactly. So it's that would be great to highlight that kind of thing in a report, or it could be an MP3 audio where you talk about that, because you talk very eloquently about this kind of thing, and you obviously know what you're talking about, even if you had a little 5-minute audio and say, here's the, or five mistakes, top five mistakes that, you know, motocross racers make, and here's an example of one. You know, the more specific you can be, you say, yeah, you go to a race, you're expecting that, you're thinking I worked really hard, and you're thinking I'm going to win this, but then you don't win it, and you get really discouraged afterward or something. And then you could give a short tip about what to do instead. So not only the mistake, but not sort of giving away the farm, but giving them an example of what you know, so it makes you the expert and gives you credibility of what you suggest they do, you know, to help that situation. And then say, or maybe I have five tips on what to do. Here's one of them, or here's two tips that you could do to help yourself through that. And there's three more on my website or on my in my coaching program. So you want to, you know, start offline and then drive them back to your website, back to you. Go ahead.
I was just commenting. I understand. It's excellent.
Yeah, and it's just you want to make it really specific and compelling, and something that they need right now. The most, I mean, you've been through many years of motocross racing, right, Jeff? And you've been, all the, you know, how to, I mean, you've been injured. I mean, injury is part of the sport, right? You've had like major neck injuries and back injuries, wrist injuries, right? It's like
correct.
I mean, there's probably ambulances sitting out there at the motocross races, right?
I've walked out of a few as well.
In the ambulance. Yeah.
Back in the day, you could do that. Now you don't, because there's different, you know, regulations and such, where, you know, if you incur a concussion during an event, typically you're not going to walk away from the medical area anytime soon.
Those injuries are something that I think is in the back of their mind, because they're seeing all these other guys getting injured or having accidents, and so you want to, if there's a way that you can say how to prevent accidents or injuries, there's how to stay focused mentally so that you can prevent injuries. Tie the mental part, the mental training part, to something that they really want or something they want to avoid. A lot of times, that avoiding the negative consequences is even more powerful than that people will pay you for to learn that. Even more powerful than going toward the positive consequences.
Right, it's a tangible result.
Yeah, they avoid thousands of dollars of medical bills and months and years of recovery and rehab. being able to stay, just have that's what's that?
Just staying healthy is a big part of the challenge.
Yeah, and stay staying. Focused mentally and really attending to all the details, things that you need to do, can make a huge difference. So you have such a great experience with that. I'd encourage you to write about it, write some articles, or if you've already written some on blogs and websites, you want to write something that's shorter. It's different than writing for writing online. It's different than writing offline. And online is, if you look at, we'll just go to any blog or articles, online, it's usually, only two to three sentences per paragraph, and bullet points is broken up a lot. You don't see a lot of long paragraphs, and so you just want to write a few tips and maybe a 250 to 300 word article. And if you've got a longer article, just to break it down into part one, part two, part three. And you might want to see if you could write for motocross, for other blogs, and find out where, when you go to these races. So then this applies to everyone in all the different sports. Ask your athletes, what are they reading? Where are they hanging out? I mean, chances are the motocross racers are, they're at the events, but they're also, they may also be reading about this stuff online. What blogs are they reading, or what, what websites are they going to? What Facebook pages are they on? And you can start your own Facebook page, and then you can even have a Facebook group, for free there, of just focusing on motocross, and people would probably really be attracted to that. You can have an open or a private Facebook group where people could contribute, and then you could have certain trainings that you could advertise or talk about your trainings coming up on there, and then have a link to to your website and what you want to the 5 points that you'll be covering, that kind of thing. Have a webinar or a teleseminar. There's so much you can do with this, and now that we have social media, it's just the best possible time, because you can do all this, have this huge exposure for free.
Right.
And write a book as well, and get it up on Amazon, and that's basically the Amazon is like the world's biggest search engine right now, but it's a better search engine, because people are going there with their wallets open, their pocketbooks open, ready to buy something, because it's a store, not just a search, not just Google. If you have a small, you could just write a small book on the 5 biggest mistakes or mental mistakes that motocross racers make. It could be like 30 pages or 50 pages. When you think of a book, it doesn't have to be a really big one. And then you have links in there to your website. So you think of your website and your blog as like the hub of a wheel. And it's the center part. It's where you want everything to go to. And then the spokes of the wheel are things like your social media, your Facebook page, your all these other things that are happening, your content, your offline stuff, your going to events, contacts with athletes. And the outside of the wheel, the actual tire, the rim of the wheel, that's your audience, the motocross racers, or whatever your niche is, the people that are out there that you want to reach. So the inside is like your there's the message and the media and the market, and people are they make the mistake of thinking I have a certain message and I want to get it out to my market. And your message is your, you know, what you want to teach, and then the spokes or how to get it out there, and then the market is, you know, the outside. But what you want to do is start with your market the other way around, and find out what your market wants, and then tailor your message to that. So when you go to these events, the same thing with you, Rob, at the at your track meets, and Jeff, when you're working with your athletes, and Dan, you want to be able to, Anna, everyone that's on the line, you want to be able to ask your athletes, what is it that you're struggling with the most? If you could do like a little survey, even informally, just kind of interview people and write down a few questions. Just ask them, what problems are you having the most, or what are you struggling with, or if they're complaining about certain things, which most athletes are, find out what it is that they're complaining about, or they're having trouble with. And those are the things, and then also ask them, what do you need? What kind of resources do you need? What would be great if you could have anything you want to help you through this? What would that be? And ask them to tell you. And that's where you get feedback from your market, so that you can tailor your message and your products and your coaching to exactly what they need. And that's what they'll pay for. Is what they're what's going to solve their problem. So you want to think of it not just as information, but think of it as a problem that they have, and that your coaching, your products are your solution to their specific problem. The more particular, the more specific you can be, the better, more targeted you can be to exactly what they need. So you don't, for instance, with a book, you don't have to write the War and Peace. You don't have to write the book that answers all questions. Just pick out one problem and then write a book that handles that one, is a solution to that. And then pick out problem number two and write a book or an article that is the solution to that one. And then syndication is really important too with marketing. Be able to, once you write something, you want to think, okay, I don't want to just spend all this time writing this article for just one purpose. Think of it as being able to take that article, that blog, and put it on as many different websites as you can. You can contribute to other websites, and put a link back to your blog so people see it. You can put it on your Facebook page and put a link back to your blog. Put it on Twitter and put that link to that article back to your blog as well. And write other, and you can take that same article and then contribute it to other blogs as well, and other magazines. So that you take that one piece, think of it as work once, get paid over and over again, several times. And some blogs will actually pay you to write them, to write for them regularly. We'll pay a certain amount per month. I've gotten paid anywhere from, some blogs have paid me $100 a month to write for them. And I actually had one that paid $2,000 a month. I know that sounds ridiculously high, but it was a trading, an investment website, like the psychology of trading, of investment. And they actually paid $2,000 a month for my articles. It was just amazing. So it's a really, the field is really open out there. So, yeah, is that helpful, Jeff?
Very helpful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, okay, and we'll go into this more specifically in all these different those great questions you had sent in to me, and we'll keep going over those in more, in these trainings, exactly how to do all this, too. You mentioned event marketing, too, and that's good just to have, well, that could mean lots of things, but did you mean just going to, actually putting on an event yourself?
Well, it could encompass that, sure, but I was looking at more just physical attendance in an event, or perhaps networking with someone else that was promoting at an event, something along those lines.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So, one thing you could do at events too. What's that?
For exposure, basically. Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. If you have a something you can give away, like a book, you can, like the Your Performing Edge books I have, if you want to get some of those, you can, you know, contact me and I can get them to you at a quantity discount too. And if you have your own book, you can, or something like that, article, you can actually, you know, give those away at races for prizes. So, you know, you could be be a sponsor kind of an event, but without having to pay a huge amount of money, you're just basically using your books as a way to get as prizes. And then you get exposure for your book. They'll say you're the name of your book and you're the title of it. And sometimes you could even be in exchange for doing that at events. I've done a lot of marathons, you know, at expos. You know, they have expo events for most various different sports, and for marathon expos, there'll be like the LA Marathon I used to go to. Be 100,000 people coming through during the day, this huge expo, and I would offer to give a talk for free there at their clinic. And then they would give me a booth for free that normally costs $2,000 to $3,000. Sometimes they're $5,000 for a booth that vendors have to pay. But if you are, you know, offered to give a talk for free, they'll give you a booth there for free. So then you can you can sell your products or your coaching as part of your talk and at the end of your presentation, and also you can have a booth that you can be at all day, and yourself or your if you have a friend to help or staff, you could be there and selling your books and products and coaching, anything that you want. So that's a great way to get exposure too. I know Rob, you're in the running field and marathons and stuff, and that's a great way to get involved there. Yeah, let's see. Who else? I just want to ask if other people have questions. Jeff McMillan or Dan or Daryl? You guys can chime in.
Going back through my notes here. This is Jeff. I'm not sure if I have any.
Okay, yeah, Jeff, you did a fantastic MP3, you know, in the course when you're ready, when you guys going through the program, when you do your MP3 audio training, like visualization, custom MP3 for your client, like practice client, which I have you do, and I think it's module 3 or so. Yeah, if you want to email that to me, you know, I gave Jeff, gave you some good feedback on that. And yeah, was that helpful, the feedback?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, just
I know one of the I guess I did have a question about, and we did kind of talk about it a little bit, but going through creating the MP3, going through the relaxation, you're kind of talking like, you are relaxed, or you're in your favorite spot, and you know whatever, and then when you get into the actual visualization part, I found at least the people I've worked with so far prefer to go through it in the the first person. They like to hear I feel powerful and things like that, as opposed to the you. So and then at the end, it was when you bring them back into the room, you're talking to them again, like you are becoming more awake. So I was wondering how to smoothly transition from the relaxation into their thinking about themselves, going through the visualization, and then back again.
Yeah, that's a good question, Jeff. And I think you're saying there's kind of like three parts to summarize your question. Yeah, how do you three parts to the visualization? One is relaxation first, and then the second part is going into the visualization, and then the third part sort of ending and coming back into the room, and how to transition between those parts. And so I'd say you're. Like if I was doing a visualization with you, Jeff, I'd say, Jeff, just relax, take in some deep breaths, let your eyes gently close, and find a comfortable place in the chair, and you can just imagine, balloon inside your stomach, and breathing in, breathing out slowly, and breathing into your hand as you put your hand on your abdomen there, check your breathing, And now we'll just now I want you to imagine going your a peak performance or a time when you were at your absolute best, and see yourself there now. And then you don't want to do anything that's really. I'm trying to think how I do it so all the time, but I have to think about how I do it. but I usually just a lot of times I might just stay in the you too. I mean, you can just you're okay to do that too. Just say you're there. You're feel. You know, imagine what you're wearing. Bring all five senses into the experience, and you're saying. One thing you can do is you're saying to yourself, "I'm here now at the, I don't know what scene. Let's see, what would the scene be? A typical scene for your clients at baseball or
a baseball, hockey
game. Yeah, baseball or hockey. So you're out there. Yeah, you're saying to yourself, "I'm out here at the, Oakland." It's a beautiful day. I'm feeling good. I'm in my red uniform, and so that's one way to just easily transition into it. You're saying to yourself, "I am," blah, and then fill in the blanks. That's a good way to just kind of get into the between you and I. I'm saying I'm here now, and I'm relaxed, I'm focused, and so you don't have to make a big jarring kind of change. You want to just kind of smoothly go into it. So just say you're saying to yourself, "I am something." So that's a good way to get into the I part. And then toward the end, when you finish the visualization, you can say and say the person's name again. I think it's good to say their name at least three times at the beginning and in the middle and at the end, and more if you want, so that you really personalize it for them. So at the end of the visualization, toward the end, you'd say, "So Jeff, now you can begin to transition back to." Imagine walking up a set of stairs from 1 to 5. I usually say it right before that, everything that we've, you can do a we in between and say everything that we've experienced here will be, translate into real positive, tangible changes in your life. So you kind of make the transition between visualizing something and then that this isn't just a, something in your mind, but this is making real changes in your life. And then say, "Now, Jeff, imagine walking up a set of stairs from 1 to 5. And each stair, you'll feel more alert and awake and refreshed." And then just kind of count up from 5 to 1. So just saying their name, I think, toward the end, and then start counting up the stairs. Usually that's a good way to kind of help people to kind of get back, because you want to help them feel more awake again and feel more alert and come back into the room in a gentle kind of way, but help them to, but you don't want them falling asleep in your office either.
Yeah.
So, is that helpful?
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. Other people, I don't know, Dan, are you there? I think Dan was there, or Ann. Maybe he's not there right now. Yeah. How about Anna?
I'm here.
Yeah. Do you want? I know you've got your cold. Did you have a question or anything you'd like to ask?
You know, actually, the question that was answered earlier about integrating into the high school and all that—that's exactly what I would have asked. So you answered it, because I'm looking to do the same thing with the school that I'm working with and expanding and giving a talk and doing all that. So.
Oh yeah, with
nailed it.
Okay, with basketball?
Actually, with other sports, and with the track team and the speed team that I'm working with.
Uh-huh.
And they've kind of given me the go-ahead that I can present what I want, and they'll open up their student-athletes to me to give a presentation and kind of promote myself that way.
Okay.
So I'm looking to work with multiple sports for the student-athletes that way. So you gave some good tip.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I'm glad. Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, and Daryl, are you still on the line there?
Yes, I am. I've been back and forth between work.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it sounds like you Sounds like you're underwater.
It does seem that way. it's like feeding back to me here. But no, I was thinking the same thing on a working with the younger athletes, keeping it short, because like you were saying, the attention span is definitely an issue there.
Yeah, exactly. They're used to floating around from five different things at once, texting and doing computer games and Facebook and all this stuff. And
absolutely.
So the idea of, oh, my God, stop and imagine something? I can't. How do I do that? It's a training process, basically. Yeah, you have to retrain them to how to do that a little bit.
Yeah, almost like make them think of the video game versus, yourself in a video game, man.
Yeah, you could do that, actually. You know, so go with what they are already using. If they're already doing video games, maybe if they're doing a video game with their sport or something, that would be really cool. Then you could imagine that, or start there, and then have them. You know, if they have trouble imagining anything, some people close their eyes; they can't imagine anything. Or they know what video games are. They're doing that all the time. So have them imagine playing a video game, and just do a short little visualization with that as a practice to get them with the learning the mental skill, or imagine
something they can relate to.
Yeah, or texting. Imagine texting something to your friends, and what are you writing? Your thoughts and feelings. Or imagine you're on your Facebook page and you're seeing. Or seeing yourself there, that you did really well in your sport or your event. So that's really something they can relate to. Or if there's a song that they're really into, or a particular music group, whatever it is that they can relate to. Ask them that first, so you find out what's important to them, and then try to include that. So yeah, that's great. So, yeah, and I wanted to add something to last week. So thanks, Daryl, for that idea and bringing in those things. And if you have any questions, feel free to email me, too. I was going to just do a quick follow-up note on the last week. I was talking about another marketing kind of idea with, I was mentioning that... that I was at the Oakland airport flying back from a conference where I gave a talk up in Salt Lake City, and I actually looked next to me. We're all standing in the baggage area. For those of you who are newer, I didn't hear this. It was just I looked next to me as we're all standing there waiting for our bags, and this guy that looked like Steve Young. And I thought, Steve Young, who was led the 49ers, quarterback, led the 49ers to the Super Bowl. He came after, it was a few years ago, he came back, after Joe Montana. Steve Young was a great quarterback and NFL Hall of Famer, very well known in the football field. But I thought, no, that can't be Steve Young. It's like he's a celebrity. You only see people like that on TV. But then I just kept looking at him. I thought, boy, that sure does look like Steve Young. And so I thought I might as well ask. And I asked his wife. It looked like his wife next to him. And I said, is that Steve Young? And she says, yes. And so I'm getting out my camera, but as I'm asking, or before I'm asking, so I'm ready. Video camera I happen to have there. And I thought, and so I just tried to, I was a little nervous because he's, very famous and, celebrity. But most people talk to him like a celebrity. But I wanted to try to talk to him just as a normal person and on a peer level. So I just said, oh, hi, Steve. I'm Dr. Joanne Dahlketter. Yeah, I'm a sports psychologist. I just came back from the London Olympics, working with my athletes there. And he said, oh, really? Wow, what were you doing? What kind of athletes were you working with? And he was interested in what I was doing and... just shared a couple of things, and he says, wow, I wish I would have had you 20 years ago. I would have gotten 2 Olympic gold medals. And I said, what a great testimonial, even though we never worked together. But I took out my video camera. I said, could I just do a quick video interview with you? And he said, sure. And, we're just waiting for our bags there. Sorry, there's a little background noise. Just closed my window. So So I did the video, and I just asked him, you know, a question about sports. I said, did you use visualization or mental training, you know, before? What did you imagine before you were, you know, when you were with the 49ers and you're about to make one of your plays? And he said, well, you know, he said that same thing. I wish I had had you 20 years ago. I'd have two Olympic gold medals. And I actually got that on video. And then, of course, we only had a couple seconds, you know, with celebrities. You only have a very short time usually, or anyone that's, this applies to any of you that come across someone that's important. It could be a coach or a somebody that has influence in your field. So then he went off to get his bags, and that was it. Oh, I asked for his email to do a follow-up interview, and he gave me that, which is really important. If you can get an email or some way to follow up with the person, then you can do a phone interview afterward. So the other point with that is that then what you can do to put the video together is, I just got him on the video, not myself, just my voice in the background. So then you can I handed the camera to someone else to do a separate little video segment. And I just said, hi, this is Dr. and asked them to video me in that same setting. So I'm still at the airport there, you know, same setting as I was videoing Steve Young. And I said, hi, I'm Dr. Joanne Dahlketter here at the Oakland airport, interviewing quarterback for the 49ers and NFL Hall of Famer Steve Young. And that was it. So that was like the intro. So I did that little bit and then closed the camera. So that would be the intro that could be spliced in or put in right before the video with him. And then I did a second one, which is called an outro, which is a, you know, video you could do afterward, put in afterward. And so I asked that person, you know, just someone there to hold the camera again. And I said, then I did the outro. So they turned on record, and I said, hi, it's Dr. Joanne Dahlketter. Just interviewed Steve Young. So there you have it. It was a great, great interview with Steve Young here, talking about his mental training techniques. And then and that was it. So you've got two short little segments. That's a way that you could put a video together where you only have a few seconds with someone that's really important, where you're interviewing them. But it's hard if it's just you there. It's hard to get both of you in the video at once, especially if you're in a noisy area and you don't have much time. You can just video them, and then afterward make the intro and the outro video, handing your camera to someone else and just introducing yourself real quick, and then at the end saying, yeah, so there you have it. We just we did a great interview with so-and-so here with Steve Young or whoever it is. So that's and then you just put all three of those into a Sony Vegas movie studio. I do it. I'm not real technical myself, but it's amazing. These programs are so easy to do. You basically just drag and drop the, you know, video one down into this timeline, into this work area of the Sony Vegas and software. It's only like something like $59, and then you drag video two down, the one with Steve, me interviewing Steve Young, the interview itself, and then drag video three down there, and then you've got, boom, you've got this video that you can put together. So it's that simple, and it's a great idea for putting together videos where you can it shows social proof that you were there with the person. Also, if you can get a photo with them, you know, just a still photo, that's really good too. So just some ideas for video marketing, basically. Then you can put that up on YouTube, put it on your website, and we can go into more detail about how to do that in another one of our trainings. So, yeah, just want to give you some ideas about that too. Yeah. Any comments before we close up here? And any ideas? I know Jeff McMillan, you're really into video. Does that make sense, or is that something that you would that you can relate to or could add to?
Oh, sure, yeah, that's great. I think most people might not think about cutting together things like that, but yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah, it's a way that, I mean, you know, you and I and all of us are, most of us are solo entrepreneurs, so you don't have a, you know, if you're NBC, you've got a cameraman and a crew and everybody to handle all that, and you've got a microphone and you've got, you know, you're interviewing yourself and then, or putting the microphone up to yourself and then to the other person and all that's kind of set up for you. But we don't have those, kind of resources. If you don't have those, it's easy to just, this is a way that you can just do that. Basically do the same thing, and you just put the three bits together. You can even do on Sony Vegas, the movie studio software, or if you've got, I think that's for PCs, and if you have Mac, I think it's called Final Cut. You can use that movie software, you can also do a split screen kind of thing, so you can be in the same setting there. And let's say you ask the person three questions by audio, you know, while you were holding the camera. If I was asking Steve Young three questions, then but I couldn't get, you know, didn't have time to have me in the camera at that time, I got his answers. So then you can hold the camera up after he's gone. You can take the camera, give the camera to somebody else, and I can ask those three questions, have somebody film me asking those same three questions. You know, Steve, what did you think about the, or what did you do, you know, mentally to prepare for your, you know, working with the 49ers or something. And they'd film me asking those three questions. So you got that video in the same setting there. And then you just put that together with the, so you could have a split screen kind of thing where you, you know, have me on the left and Steve on the right, or you could have it, you know, going back and forth from myself to, you know, full screen to Steve, full screen, whatever you want. And if you're not, if you're thinking, oh, geez, that would be too much work to do all that stuff, you at least try to get the video itself. You know, you can get that. And then you can go to someplace like Fiverr.com, which is this amazing website, Fiverr.com, Fiverr.com. So it's Fiverr with two R's at the end.com. And it's an amazing a website where you can actually get just about anything done for $5. That's why they call it Fiverr.com, and you can just put in a job, and you'll get, you know, something like that would be, for somebody that does video work, it will only take them a few seconds to put that together, and anything there is, they'll just charge you $5. It's pretty amazing. So you can get those done. If you don't find what you need there, there's another place called Odesk. The letter O and then desk, desk.com, where you can find people to outsource, you know, jobs like that as well. And so, you know, there's all kinds of easy ways that you can put that together. So yeah, those are just some video ideas for you, too. Yeah, because it's, I mean, you just never know. There's all kinds of opportunities out there where there's important people around, and you want to have a camera with you so you can be your own paparazzi, so to speak. And you know, be able to interview people, and then you can just put that up on your website. Put it up on YouTube first is what I do, on our YouTube channel, and then there's an embed code there. Usually right below there it says embed or share, and it will you click there, and then it'll give you a code, and you just put that right on your website. That's what's great about WordPress. We'll be talking more about that. I know, Jeff, you just got your WordPress site up, which is, congratulations on that. And yeah, it's great. And you can go to, you know, within WordPress, which is free, and then you just go into the administration area there and just, you know, put in a new post, and which is like an article. You just put it in the article area. You just click, you put it, write a quick little intro with some keywords, you know, search words, say, you know, Dr. Joanne Dahlketter, or mental training techniques with Dr. Joanne Dahlketter interviewing Steve Young, something like that. And then you just paste in the embed code from YouTube, and boom, it just plays it. I don't know HTML at all. I don't know any of this coding stuff, but I just know where to point and click to make all this stuff work. So you just, you know, copy and, I do know how to copy and paste, and all of us know how to copy and paste. So just paste it right in there. and the HTML code, and then boom, it just plays right there on your website. So then that way you get two advantages. You get you get credit for, you know, when people come to your website, Google sees that, how many people are actually visiting your website, and they're clicking on that video, which is a YouTube video. So if on your YouTube channel, when you set that up, and we'll talk more about that, you can that counts as a view on YouTube. So you'll get more views on YouTube that are listed there, which, you know, helps your search engine rankings also on Google. So great stuff. And then you always want to put your share links and, you know, links down below to be able to, so people can share what you're share and tweet and Facebook, you know, share what you're doing. So great. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Any last questions or comments? Was this helpful? If you want to just let me know what gem you learned today, or what helpful thing you learned today. Anyone can chime in. It's hard to hear. Okay, well, everyone's probably on mute, so that's okay. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming, and we'll meet again September the 13th. If you have any questions in the meantime, just feel free to email me, and we'll talk soon. Thanks, everyone. Have a good day.
Thank you.
All right. Bye now.